Thank you, Chris. Now I know what you're talking about with all those names. I forgot about that. That's a good tongue twisters there. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, we're almost to the end of Samuel. We only have two more today and then next time. And of course, it's that season. Bringing the star out. Mike, don't smile like that. You know who the great team is in the division. Yes. All right. Well, so it's interesting as reading this, and it's a very kind of an interesting passage because you can do, you know, the Lord can lead you in many different ways of what He is bringing out, and you're learning from it, and you know, what is He teaching? And He started directing me in a way I didn't really expect, truthfully. And hopefully, as the Lord wills, you know, by His grace, the word will go out true and powerful by His Spirit. And that's why, you know, I had it titled The Mystery of Mysteries for a reason. I also could have said nothing was missing. You know, so there's certainly things like that as we look at it. And you look at it, these mysteries, I don't know about you, but I grew up reading mystery novels, and I don't read mystery novels as much today as I used to. But what's fun about those mystery novels is you read it and you're getting surprised. There's, you know, there's a joy in just learning and seeing how they'll make little twists and turns. You think you got it all unraveled, everything is just the way you like it, and all of a sudden they boop, they do something else, and you go, what? And, you know, so it's delightful, it's joyful, and all the process of the problem solving and seeing what will happen and what the outcome will be in that mystery and how it gets solved. And life, as we know, is full of mystery, if you haven't noticed, right? And how we live it, things happen to us we wouldn't even expect, or, you know, good things, bad things, whatever. And you know, just the way life moves us. Sometimes I look back and go, I never, you know, if I was going about back in my teens or even early 20s, I would not even think about I'd be here. You know, I thought I would be probably up on a mountaintop somewhere in California, you know, or whatever. So, you know, just how He moves and shapes us, because, you know, ultimately God is God, and He is the mystery of mysteries, really. And nobody can really solve Him. As Job was going to go on, wow, you're just so much. How can we even think? We can't even grasp even a little bit of you. We might experience and know some of your character, and of course the word that you bring us and stuff, but to understand fully, we won't do that until we meet Him face to face. And that is by His wonderful mercy and grace as well. And so we look at things such as, you know, okay, this mystery and the mysteries. And I think it really, what jumps out there is going back to Exodus 33, and I'll just read that for you. And as the Moses, you know, courageously asked God, hey, I want to see you. And God says, okay. So he didn't rely on to see all of them, because He says that, you know, we aren't able to handle all that, but He did pass before Him in all of His goodness, and He proclaimed His name and in His presence, and He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And when you say that, I just start going, zoom, 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 zoom. I have zero idea what you mean. You know, this is a mystery of God. You know, the mysteries, I believe, really are His grace and mercy. His mercies are shown to us in so many ways. His grace abounds. And we know all about it. We hear all about it and all that stuff. And we're still sitting there and kind of go like this, huh? Because it is beyond our understanding of how much He really loves us. So today, I'm trusting that this passage will help us get a better grasp of how, really, you know, what it is about this mysterious mercy and grace of the Lord and how it works and how we are to respond to it in our own lives. So let's give this to the Lord. Let me pray before we continue on. Father, Yeah, we just rejoice that we can get into your word together. And Lord, we just ask that you will move in a way that your words will come through my words, Lord, and that your name be honored and glorified. You empower these words by your Holy Spirit, that you'll open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And as we were talking this morning, not just to receive it, but also to go forth in it and for our day-to-day walk with you. So we just give this time to you, and we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we start off, and remember now, David, through his cunning, he finds himself in a situation that's really a no-win situation, where he would either fight for the Philistines against Israel or betray the Philistines and fight with Saul, and not knowing that if Saul would try to get him or not either. So it was a pretty bad situation. But now he finds himself, as we see how God mysteriously works in all of this, he uses these Philistine commanders to say, "We don't want you with us. We've already had these bad experiences. Get out of here." And so here they are, a three-day journey back into this city that was given to them called Ziklag. And they approached, it was burned down. That's not a good thing. You know, and not only that, but everybody was gone. And that's not a good thing. And so everybody's weeping and you know, just really distressed. And, you know, here is David doing his best to save his life from Saul, running from him for all those years, and then also coming in the presence of a pagan king who is an enemy, and hoping not to be in his grasp to where he would get killed by him. And he's getting free. He's able to get through all that. And here he is now with his own men going, "David, where are those stones?" And they're ready to stone David. And I don't think he would have ever thought about that. And that's, you know, that's where he's at. And as I was reading Tony Evans, he has a Bible that he does comments on and stuff like that. And that's one of my new Bibles. And he says that God mysteriously, you know, he works best in the dark places. In the dark places, you know, and when you're hitting rock bottom, it seems that's where God seems to do his best work. You know, and I have to agree with that in my own experience of my own life as well. And so we see David there, and he is really hurting, and he's in danger. And yet, now we start seeing God's gracious hand, his sovereign grace working in this moment, because something ignited in his heart that it wasn't from David, because David was going by his own strength. He wasn't inquiring of God, remember? And he was using his own guile, right, to get him through these things and to work things out. But I believe God, through that dark time, moved and did something and shone a little light that reminded him of who he is and of who he is. And that's really when you go back to, like, in 17:37 there, going back in 1 Samuel. And this is what David replied back then when he was going up against the big giant, you know, of a guy named Goliath. And he says this, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And I believe his heart is now saying, "You're going to rescue me from this situation that I'm facing now." And then also there was an encouragement from his good friend Jonathan there in chapter 23. And his words there, and I think verse 16 and 17. And he just says, am I in the right place here? Let's see, I might not have the right one here. Might have missed that one there. Oh, okay, yeah, here we are. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God, right? Don't be afraid, he said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. I believe these start to wash over him and start to be these reminders that when he turned and to this point to where it says there in verse, the last part of 6 there in the chapter here, but God found strength in the Lord his God. See, the Lord, by his grace, and we'll understand a little bit more about that as we talk about that more, can move our thoughts, can move our hearts in a way that will help us, remind us of who we are in him and all he's done for us, and that we can actually trust him and find strength in him. And that is very critical, especially at this time of David's life. So he turns to the Lord. He turns to the Lord. He's back. You know, there's kind of like a renewal now, like a new start for David. Now he's inquiring of the Lord again, asking Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod so they can inquire the Lord and see what their next step is. Pretty good. Pretty good. And now we see even more in that as he seeks the Lord, and he's asking, you know, should we pursue him? You know, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake him? Overtake them. And then as the Lord shows his grace once again, because remember, Saul was inquiring of God too, right? Just a little bit ago. But what did God do there? He remained silent. He did not answer him because he knew Saul's heart and he was not going to give him what he wants. He already had his plans already marked out for Saul and his life. But for David, he graciously gave an answer, guidance. He says, pursue him and you will certainly overtake them. And not only does that, and listen to this, and succeed in the rescue. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I was just asking you, should we go or not? And then you're not even telling me to go, but you're telling me I'm going to be successful. Oh, wow. That's really nice. Thank you. And that's God's grace working in all of that, to allow these good things. He's finding strength in the Lord. And what does that look like? So when we are facing our situations, we're in the rock bottom times, dark places, you know, best things you can do is what? Seek the Lord. Yeah. Seek him first. Open your heart. Listen as he speaks. Listen to his words, right? And receive the encouragement. Receive the guidance, and even from sources that you wouldn't even expect, receive that guidance and go forth in his strength and be victorious. And that's all part of seeking the Lord and getting strength and being strengthened in the Lord, just trusting, obeying, and gathering with others when you can, and doing what the Lord commanded to do. So this mystery of how God works, it's not saying God did this, God did that. God's speaking, but you can see the mercies of the Lord and the grace of the Lord working through David's life in all of these situations in this passage, very quietly, but very powerfully as well. 600 men of keep moving forward with them, and then 200 have to stay behind. And that's just the way it goes. But God's grace abounds in all of that. It's amazing. When you think about what is mercy and what is grace, well, when you can look at it, you look at this picture of this Egyptian that they found, a young man who was abandoned by his master to die. And they come up upon this person, and they could certainly just, that guy's dead, or he's going to die, let's just keep on going. You know, but they're also looking for where these guys are in this vast desert, so they say, well, let's see, find out who this guy is, and they give him some water and food, and they start talking and seeing who he is, and they find out that he's one of these guys that burned down Ziklag, and yeah, really? That's what should happen, correct? Just, okay, you're one of those guys? Okay, you're done. No, because something's changing in David's heart as well. See, this mercy is what we do not receive what we deserve. So the Egyptian young man, he deserved death, okay? For what he did, all right? And we deserve death for what we have done. being those of sinful nature, and we deserve death. The condemnation, the judgment is already laid down for all of us. So mercy is what David did. He didn't kill him. He deserved death. He didn't receive it. He got food and water. And then as you continue on and you see a little bit more about grace in this mysterious grace, because grace goes beyond mercy. See, grace is now you not only do you know, with mercy, you're not receiving what you do deserve. Grace is you're receiving what you do not deserve. And so he makes this request of David and his men. He said, hey, don't kill me. If I tell you where these guys are, don't tell me and don't give me back to my master. Don't. And by grace, they do not. They save his life. They do not give him back to this master who didn't really have much worth in his life. So grace and mercy abounds. And for us, when we think about this mercy and grace of the Lord, and we were talking about this morning about appropriation and, you know, really understanding, being aware of what we have in Christ and putting it into practice, really. Putting it into practice when we need it. And so a lot of times, though, for us with this mercy and grace of the Lord, we just kind of go, oh, that sounds nice. But it's something that it's a mystery to us because there's a fight in us. There's a fight in our hearts going, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve this. Why is he doing this? Why would he even think about doing this? I know what I'm like. I know what I did last night. I know what I said the other day. I know what I, you know, all these things. And you start going, I can't receive this. I'm not good enough. Well, let's get a truth in here. You are not good enough. Not a single one of us. I think we always have to be reminded we are not good enough. We don't deserve anything good. But when the Lord is offering such a wonderful gift of mercy and grace, we need to really receive that. You know, and that's what it is about the cross of Christ. You know, he came for that specific reason. To be in our spot. You know, the mercy of Christ, you know, he took our death on himself. You know, we were deserved to die. We were going to die. Justice has to be done. God is perfect in his judgment, and he's gonna lay it out, and we're gonna die for our sin. But he sent his son Jesus to take our place because he was able to do that, because he's perfect in all of his ways in his life. And then the grace comes. He saved us from death, and that was the mercy part. The grace part is then we have life. He did something that we shouldn't even have. No way should we deserve it. Everlasting life? Get out of here. In a perfect world, in a perfect life, perfect body, perfect mind. Woo. So that's where we start going, I can't receive it. And where we have this internal fight with us, I'm not good enough. I can't earn it. I can't do it myself. And there's that big fight going on. And then we just kind of go, and we start living in bondage to the old ways. Like we have never been those who have received grace, the grace salvation. Even that grace salvation, your salvation wasn't something that you worked out. You had no ability to save yourself. No one, it says in the Word of God, no one is good enough. No one even pursues God. Nobody's seeking him out. No one. We seek ourselves out, or we seek some other gods out, you know, things that we think might be kind of neat and mysterious and things like that, and, you know, the Eastern religions and all that stuff. Yeah, we'll do that, but we won't receive this grace and mercy of the Lord, because it's so difficult for us to really grasp this love, because really that mercy and grace of the Lord is just wrapped up in that love of God. In that passage, you know, high and wide and deep and long is his love? Nobody can grasp it. And so there's that internal fight. And so really what we need to do is surrender and allow the Lord to be Lord, to allow him to be God, allow him to be who he is. And we see the changing in David's heart here, because the mercy and grace is shown to this Egyptian. Didn't have to be. He didn't have to. He could have made that promise. Yeah, sure. We'll keep you from your master. You show us where these guys are. And then he says, hey, yeah, let's just add this guy to the other people we're going to kill later on. You know, but he didn't. And then when he came back and those 200 men were too exhausted to go across the valley, well, he could have just said, you guys, and certainly other people were suggesting it, just give them back their family and, you know, bye, get out of here, go on, you're not good enough for us. But David's going, whoa. Guys, you know, and he said this kindly. He didn't get down on these people or anything. You know, if you look at his wording there, you know, he was just, you know, first of all, I want to say this, just interrupting myself a little bit too. God's grace was shown powerfully in this. When you go back to the very beginning there of 30, and verse 2, it says, and they had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them. Do you get that? They killed none of them. That's God's intervention. All right. Somebody must have fought back. Easy, just, hey, I don't like the way this guy looks. Like that, you know? That's it. So you see God's sovereign grace in that. Then you see it again here in verse 19. It says, nothing was missing. Young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. So, questions for you. Do you believe this? I mean, do you really believe this, or is this just a fairy tale? Because what we're asking here is challenging. I'm challenging you with this question. Do you believe in God's sovereign grace? Because if you don't, then you need to continue to read the word. And you know, we're going to be fighting, and there's going to be internal battles because we're human. We have a sin nature. We're prideful. We want to do our own things. We want to be God. Don't forget that. There's that fight inside our heart. I want to be God, and there's God, and now there's going to be a fight. And a hope that I'll lose every time. All right, that the white flag goes up. I go, oh, forgive me, Lord, what am I doing? You know, that's the hope. His sovereign grace isn't just for a minute. It isn't, it's here, but then you step out the doors and it stops. His sovereign grace is throughout the whole universe. That's what keeps things spinning. And all these little minute details that if anything was set off the wrong way, this universe would just disappear in nothingness. He's in control of everything. Yeah, even if your dark times, even the mountaintop experiences, he's there. Do you believe in God's sovereign grace? Another question is, do you believe that he is merciful and gracious? you know, that's something that you need to work through in your own life and see the story that he has been writing in your life and in my life and see all that mercy and all that grace flowing through. What I thought I did on my own, I look back and go, oh, wait a second. That wasn't me. I got some help. I don't, you know, sometimes it was through another person or through some a word or whatever, or just by God's grace and helping me in selection of the right class to take or to right job to apply for or the right person to get to know to be my wife. That's God. I think in responding, I mean, and when we look back at a little example, a guy named Jonah, do you remember him? Do you remember Jonah? Interesting character. A prophet of God, running from the Lord. But, you know, and because he didn't really want to do what he asked, you know, what he was going to ask him to do. And there in chapter 4, it comes to a head because he already gave his message and there's, you know, there's a turning of heart from the people of Ninevites there. But Jonas, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's why, you know, that is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. That's why he got on that boat and get away from this God and who he is. And I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sinning calamity. Oh, man, see, because he wanted these Ninevites to be smoked. He wanted them to disappear, see them burn up like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, that would he would have been going, he would have been dancing a little jig up there. With Will on his guitar and whatever else. You know, he would have been happy with that then. Now, Lord, now listen to this. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry that he is so gracious and so compassionate, his mercies abound? Do you have a right when the Egyptian is laying there and not to kick him while he's down? I mean, it feels good. Your enemy, former enemy, whatever, you know, good to kind of step on it, maybe, oh, I'm sorry. You know, that type of stuff. But God is saying, no, this is a whole different thing. Because I love this person. I love those people. Just like I love you. It's all the same. My son was sent for all. for all. And the mercy abounds. So people say, well, what am I to do? I don't want to be like Jonah. Jonah's still crying, I think. We want to be careful of the Jonah attitude. We want to see God's grace and mercy abound, his compassion to impact lives, our own lives and the people around us. Response is this. How are we going to put it into practice? You know, remember, God is a mystery. He is. Have you ever been watching The Chosen and his disciples would say this to Jesus, this, you're just a mystery to me. And I believe they must have said that because he is. He still is. Amazing and a mystery. And let's allow it, but let's have the joy. Remember reading those mystery novels, the joy of just reading and going through it and interacting and trying to solve and unravel. See, he wants, just like his parables, he spoke in parables, he taught in parables for the people so they would have to think harder and reach deeper and open their hearts. And he's doing the same for us. As he is this mystery, he's saying, unravel me. Get to know me more. You know, get into it. Seek me out in your daily walk. Invite me into your work. Invite me into your classroom. Invite me into your walk down the street to see some neighbors or go to the grocery store. He says, take me with you. Unravel me. And watch these mysteries come involved. So unraveling, again, is the basics of getting into his word. You can unravel the mysteries here. You can make wonderful discoveries in here. Yeah, prayer goes right along with that. The fellowship, the serving of others, the giving a witness to others, all that comes together in helping us to understand who God is more and more. And appropriating it, taking it, and using it, being aware of what we have and who we are in Christ, and to use it into our daily lives. And then we can seek the Lord. And we can be merciful and gracious, as David has shown. We can be merciful and gracious to our former enemies or those who did us real bad just a little bit ago. And we can, you know what? We can share the treasures, the plunder, with our friends, with our families, with those around us, and just point them to the cross of Christ, saying, that's where the riches are. The riches of all the riches, all the hidden in him, all the riches of the knowledge and wisdom are there. That's what you seek. You'll find it. Oh, and mercy and grace are there for you as well. Mercy and grace. And you find it in a passage here, one of the passages I just found, I'll end it here, in Romans chapter 5, it says this. See, this is God speaking. You know, Paul's unraveling this mystery of who God is. And that's where he came to that point where he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. And he says, well, who can save me? And well, Christ, Jesus can. And he's going through this mystery and just being these wonderful nuggets and gold nuggets. And he found God teaches him this. He says, since we have now been justified by his blood, talking about Jesus' blood on the cross, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Mercy. For is while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through his death. There's that mercy. The death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And that salvation is that grace. Life. Everlasting. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Isn't that wonderful? See, without God's grace and mercy, we could never be reconciled. we would just be like the Amalekite who would say, oh, you're sick, you're not worth, I can't use you anymore. Get out of here. I'm leaving you behind. See, that's the way it would be. But with God's grace and mercy, he's calling us to himself. He's lifting us out of the dirt. And he's saying, go forth and live a new life. A life that's blessed to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this mystery of who you are. It is so joyful to know you more and more and just to get into the word and to pray and to allow you to work through our experiences and blessing us with wonderful times of witness and being with others in fellowship, Lord, and just growing in the grace and knowledge of who you are. Just seeing, coming up with these nuggets of truth that will impact our lives and that will carry us forth outside these walls so we can be a blessing to those around us, so they can know the hope that we have in Christ. See, it's this wonderful mercy and grace of yours, that you're the one who will have mercy on whom you will have mercy and compassion on whom you will have compassion. You are a gracious God, and you want all to be saved. You want all to be repenting and come to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you that you saved us. And if there's someone here who has not received this mercy and grace of yours, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts, to their will. They'll open their hearts and say, yes, I need you. I need you. Forgive me. Come into my life. I receive your mercy and your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for some of those that just need of us who need reminding or encouragement, remember that we are given everything. We don't lack anything. We just need to be aware that we have it and to use it when it's needed. These blessings upon blessings, this power and authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ. We may walk in this, Lord. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can walk in a way that will bring glory to you, in a way that will draw many more to you, Father, that you'll use our lives to draw many more to yourself. That is our prayer. We just rejoice in you. And pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.